Hey, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. I want to now bring together what we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks. If you weren't here, it shouldn't be a conflict. It'll kind of be also standalone, you know. But to bring together what we've been discussing about the Bein HaMitzarim, about the potential that lies in these days, and in the expectation, in the call on each of us to break out of the reality we're living in and to try to connect to bigger, broader things, to the greatness of our past, and to the greatness of Hashem's true vision for us. That's the challenge. It's to overcome the reality we grew up in, which we naturally feel is the default. I want to approach it now from another angle and then try to tie it all up and perhaps add another dimension here. The Frum community last week experienced a very great display of the Oras Panim. The one feature of Frum life was very, very much under attack, in danger. I'm talking about, probably everybody knows what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the issue of the kosher cell phones. The kosher cell phones, you know, whether you have a kosher cell phone or whether you don't, if you don't, you know, conceding that you probably have specific needs and you have it set up in the right way, but lemaisa, I don't have to spend too much time explaining why the threat that its absence would have, particularly considering that in the last 2 years of Corona, cell phones made their ways into many children's pockets, and etc. And lemaisa, there was a government that's on its way down, that Hashem bechastoy, on the one hand, gave us a good shake, and on the other hand, showed us that people can't get away with these types of things for very long. There's a process of what we call mashpil gain. Hashem lowers the arrogant. And we have to connect to that. We have to sense the dynamic here. We should realize that. I'm not encouraging following news on a regular basis. I think that very much pulls us out of the purity and pristineness of our lives. But in a very basic, general way, we know what's going on. No need to really get into all the ins and outs of it. What's going on in your own home and in your own life is much more important. That's something that really deserves its own elaboration. But if in a general way you're following what's going on, that, yeah, Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, read the headlines when you pass by a newsstand, and that's plenty. So you've been probably aware of this parsha in a general way. Among the various things that were being attacked in terms of Frumkeit, this was one of them. It was this agenda to just knock it out and create a situation where every kid not only has access, but can be accessed, even if they're not looking for it, can be accessed by all kinds of who knows what. And it looked pretty hopeless. It looked pretty hopeless. And again, I'm not in on all the ins and outs. I don't know all the details, but I know just the very broad strokes of the story. It went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court is not famous for its affinity for the Torah community. That's an understatement. So it's like, what are you expecting? Of course, it's going to be the usual, the usual, what happened? There was a lot of Mesiras Nefesh going on around this parsha. Many, many people sent in notices to the cell phone companies that as soon as these changes go into effect, they're canceling their plans. We sent that in. And I think there were something like more than 70,000 such signatures. And there were many tefillahs went on, public tefillahs that went on around you know, right as this was happening. And in what strikes me as nothing short of miraculous, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Torah world's position.
I'm sorry for my ignorance. What was the question was posed to court? What was a legal issue? I mean, the companies, is it government? I thought they're private companies. They can offer what services they want.
So I don't understand the ins and outs, but somehow the minister of Tikshoret, minister of communications, right, was imposing something that would be mandatory on the cell phone companies. In fact, representatives of the cell phone companies were among those fighting it in court.
Oh, they wanted to keep it.
They wanted to keep it because it was a massive market for them.
Yeah.
It was a massive market for them. There was a whole a team of different parties, you know, the representatives of the community, and there were also representatives of the cell phone companies who saw a lot of business going down the drain.
Right.
So I don't understand the legalities of it. You can probably figure it out better than me, but that's what happened. Now, all these different things shouldn't just go over our heads. There's a spiritual dynamic here, right? And I very much felt this and experienced this as a great smile, a great sign of, yes, if you, as a tzibur, will come together, b'moiseh nefesh, and daven, I'm here, right? And things will happen, even l'mala miderech hatev. And to really experience that, to experience an eis ratzon, right? A revelation here, and to connect to that. And ironically, or maybe perhaps dafkin, not ironically, this came just about the time of Rosh Chodesh Av, right, in the middle of the Bein HaMitzarim, middle of the time that's known as the darker period, as far as we're concerned. Now, I'm using this as one example. We all experience in our private lives displays of He'oras Panim, in which Hashem is showing to us, I'm here with you now. And then at the same time, we also experience displays of what seems to be Hester at the same time. So on the one hand, we say that you should, when you get that experience of He'oras Panim, you should really appreciate Hashem is showing you, I'm here with you. I'm close to you. I'm right here. And then all of a sudden, there's an experience of Hester. And so, 1 minute. So what happened? You know what happened? Churban happened. That's what happened. That's this contrast. That's this conflict. That's this tension that's going on here. And I want to bring this home to a much more trivial level. Chazal tell us that an example of Yisurin, they've heard this from me in the past. Chazal tell us, what's the example of Yisurin? We talk about how Yisurin, a person goes through troubles and misfortunes, it's a kapara. What's an example of a trouble, of suffering that's a kapara? Remember the example from the Gemara, right? You stick your hand into your pocket, you need to come up with a 10 shekel coin. And you pull your hand out and there's a 5 shekel coin. Now you're going to have to stick your hand into your pocket again. That's suffering. That's an example that the Gemara gives of Yisurin. Now, if we were to have to give examples of Yisurin, I'm sure that we can, without being too creative, we can come up with more significant examples, right? So what are Chazal doing here? What are Chazal doing here? Chazal are trying to convey a certain point. But I want to say the other side of the coin also. We talk about He'oras Panim. I just gave an example of something very encompassing. But you know what? We should feel He'oras Panim when we sit down for a meal, when you sit down for breakfast, when you sit down for lunch. You are seeing food that was prepared with love and with care, specifically with you in mind, specifically with me in mind. Where I got that bread from, there was much, much more. And where they got it from, there was much, much more. Specifically with you in mind. Spoken about this, not getting back into it now. But all kinds of other examples. When your body is functioning as it should, and you experience that, and you're feeling the care of Hashem. Hashem is caring for you in a very hands-on kinds of way. And there again, you have that he'oras panim. So, to my understanding, what Chazal are trying to convey here is that most of us, from a natural standpoint, you stick your hand into your pocket, you come up with the wrong coin, say that. We're not going to get worked up about it, right? So you stick your hand back into your pocket and you come up with the next coin. But Chazal are telling us that the truth is that if you have Hashem close to you, as close as he really is, why should that happen? Is that like too small for Hashem to be on top of Chas V'Shalom? Why should that happen? If Hashem is really intimately connected with you, then when you stick your hand into your pocket, the right coin should come up. Why should it be the wrong coin? Right? Rachel approaches a well, the water comes up. So, what is Chazal are trying to clue us into a fine sensitivity that if you stuck your hand into your pocket and you came up with the wrong coin, apparently Hashem is holding back. Apparently Hashem is holding back. Because again, it's not too much for him to be on top of. Right? And in the past, whether it was points in history, high points in history, or those great people, as they moved through life, that was the way it worked. Right? Everything was moving into place as they moved along. Because Hashem was there setting everything up. His Hashkacha was, as we say, davuk in them. It was clinging to them. So the message that is here is that, yes, we should actually feel a certain hurt anytime something doesn't play out beautifully, doesn't play out perfectly, and certainly when it's more than that, because Hashem is showing us, I am right here, but I'm holding back. Why are you holding back? Hashem loves us so much, right? He loves us more than any love that we've ever experienced. He's holding back because we aren't really as close as we should be. It's where we want to be dafka through the he'oras panim on the one hand, which should create a certain sense of conflict, not to just move through life in a way that, oh, sometimes good things happen, sometimes bad things happen, and yeah, you know, that's just how life works. No, to be working it all into that picture of my relationship with Hashem, Hashem in my life, showing me on the one hand these displays of affection, and then on the other hand, I run into walls, or worse, Chas V'Shalom. And really, this is what we're supposed to be getting out of any tzara, from the smallest to chalila, the greatest, is that realization of why is this happening? Al ki ein elokai v'kirbi. We see that's actually, if you look at the parasha where it says that, it's the first step toward the recognition that brings it back. When we realize, when we do run into any kind of tzara, and we say, this is al ki ein elokai v'kirbi, it's not because, oh, there's a few different problems that need to be fixed. This needs to be changed. That needs to be changed. There's really one issue, and that is that kiviyachol nistalka ashchina, right? That the Shechina is not with us at the moment. Now, the Shechina is not with us is a very relative statement. But when we're talking in terms of the real closeness of Hashem with his people, right now we're in a state of that the Shechina isn't with us. This is Hashem intended. Something much, much, much more intense than that. Now, I want to take it a step further. I've said this a number of times. We do a lot of repetition, apologetically, because it's very much about banging in the core points from every possible angle. But we've said this a number of times. I'll say it again, that sometimes, there's a certain rule. I'll give you the Maharal's esoteric way of saying it. Maharal says that it says that Shechina lemalem ra'ashesam shel chayla. Shechina is right by a chayla. Shechina is right by a sick person. Have a sick person. That's why you're not supposed to sit like over the head over the level of the head of a sick person, because that's where the Shechina is. Shechina is right there. Person is sick. Person is suffering. Shechina is right there. Maral says that when Hashem Kivyachol takes away a natural crutch, he replaces it with himself. Health is a natural crutch, right? Takes that away, he's there. So the Maharal says something almost like self-contradictory. Almost self-contradictory. He says, what was the greatest crutch that Hashem took away from us was his presence among us. It was his presence among us that we had in the Beis HaMikdash. When Hashem took that away, he drew much closer. How do you put that together? But that's what he's saying. When Hashem took that away, he drew much closer. How are we supposed to understand that? We can really leave it at that and leave it for each person to just let it sink in and hit them. Even if you can't put it into words, I think we can all connect to what's being said. But let's, yes, try to put it into words. And here I want to draw on a Tanya, who says it in high terms. And I'll try to illustrate it with the way Reb Shimshon Pinkus puts it. He had a special koyach in taking very lofty concepts and putting them into very down-to-earth terms. So he said it like this. Then we'll back up to the Tanya. He said it like this. And forgive me if I'm boring you. I think I must have said this many times. But it still will, Bezos Hashem, green at it. He said, what's the purpose of a mechitza in a shul? Superficial answer is to separate the men from the women. But if you think about it, it's not really so, because what if there was no mechitza? If there was no mechitza, women wouldn't come, right? So in the right shul, I guess in the wrong shul, it's there to separate the men from the women. But in the right shul, it's not there to separate the men from the women, because if there was no mechitza, women wouldn't come. The mechitza is there to enable the men and the women to be together. That's what the mechitza is there for, right? In other words, you can have situations where a certain proximity wouldn't work well, is inappropriate, right? But by putting a certain barrier, you can enable it. Where do you do this on a regular basis? Sunglasses, right? That's what sunglasses are. Right? You put on sunglasses, not in order to avoid the sun, stay home. Put on sunglasses in order to go into the sun and be able to be there, right? So the way the Tanya puts it is that dafka, those situations of, he calls it like the level of Yisurin, is where what's actually going on is that Hashem is drawing so close, so intensely close, that it's too much to be there without a screen, without a barrier, and therefore Yisurim are put into place to form a certain mechitza, if you'll put it that way, and then Hashem draws much, much, much closer than, so to speak, than what would be possible without it. So we have to realize that dafka in the distance, and this is really what the Maharal is saying, that dafka in the distance, there is an extreme closeness that it's up to us to be able to reach out and access it, just that it's not going to be felt. That's the whole point of it. That's the nature of this kind of closeness. It's not going to be felt. So on the one hand, Hashem is giving these signals. I'm right here. I'm closer than you can possibly imagine. But on the other hand, this barrier is there. And the barrier is there, and therefore we come up against Yisurim, different types of troubles, tzaras, from the trivial to the great, to Chalila, very great tragedies, and they're there to remind us that we want to break that barrier, we want to get to a place where we can be in that proximity. We can do that once we do have Amachzir Shechinas Eretzion. Once we have the Beis HaMikdash and the Avodas HaKorbanos restored, Avodas HaKorbanos is really the medium that enables the Shechina, Kiviyachol, that makes it possible for the Shechina to truly rest on Klal Yisrael in an open way. So this is what we want to be experiencing. We want to be able to see the revelations of Eras Pani, to experience the closeness wherever Hashem shows it to us. And he sprinkles it generously in different kinds of ways. While at the same time, then to be hurt by the fact that, if so, why is this happening? don't leave it just, yeah, naturally, some days will be better than others. But put it all together. Allow yourself to really feel that letdown, right? To really feel that disappointment. People often ask him in the form of a question. Hashem is showing me such closeness. Then why all of a sudden is there this? Well, why is this going on? Or why is that going on? As far as we're concerned, the question is the answer. We are in the state of Churban. That doesn't mean that Hashem forgot about us. On the contrary, Hashem is watching intently. And Hashem's care and love and kiviyachol, his hurt along with his people, is at its peak. Right? This is what the people saw as they were leaving Yerushalayim. They saw the two kruvim embracing each other. Dafka at the time when the distance was being created, then they saw the two kruvim, which reflects the state of Hashem and Klal Yisrael, then they saw the two kruvim embracing each other. Hashem is right here. And he's making himself very accessible. But for the purpose of us being reminded that we really want him up close in the full, open way. And therefore, on the contrary, allow ourselves to experience that conflict, right? Experience that conflict. To let those letdowns hit us, to look at the phenomena that aren't in line with Hashem's closeness, so to speak, and say, we can't be satisfied with what is. We want much more. We want Hashem's full return. We want Hashem's full presence in our lives, in our people, in our homes. Question.
So I think what I heard you just say, Rob, was that in order to draw really close, so Hashem gives you yisurim. Like, you're sick, and so you're hale, then Hashem can come really close to you. He could come close to you without that. I mean, isn't the yisurim what we talked about, why righteous people suffer? And then once you have it, because you deserved it, for one reason or another, then Hashem is in pain with you, so he's close to you, like you would be close to a child you had to give an operation to or a vaccination to, you know, like.
Right. Why? So there's a double question here. There's a double question here. First of all, so why does it have to be that way? Why does Hashem doesn't have the ability to draw close to us without the Yisurim? Like, why does it have to be that there's that mechitza there? And secondly, we had a whole discussion just recently about the purpose of Yisurim, about how they're a part of the picture. So to start with the second point, and then to draw back to the first point, which is perhaps the more fundamental for our purpose right now, to start with the second point is that true, we are discussing one angle of the purpose of Yisurim. One angle. And that one angle for our purposes right now is to remind us of the distance so that we should long for more closeness. I'm going to make that the secondary point right now. But to draw back to the first point, and that is, why does it have to be such that there have to be a surah in place in order for Hashem to draw close? And here, okay, this is exactly hitting our subject on the head. The answer is that in the ultimate, optimal picture, it is not that way. That's not the way Hashem ideally had it set up. It's a reality in Churban. That's exactly the point. And we want to know, why couldn't it be otherwise? It could be otherwise. And that's exactly what we're longing for right now. That's exactly what we're longing for right now. We're longing for a situation where there doesn't have to be barriers in order for Hashem to get this close. And Hashem says, in order for that to happen, I need Klal Yisrael to make themselves presentable for Shekhinah really being with them in the open way without the barriers. In as much as Klal Yisrael are not that presentable, there have to be those barriers. And I have to find the ways of signaling them to draw them closer to me. But when Klal Yisrael will make themselves presentable, that's one way of putting it. Another way of putting it is, when Klal Yisrael express that longing enough, when they become aware enough of, and they want it enough, as we've been discussing, to be back close with me, then we'll be able to do without the barriers. But as we discussed the other week, for Hashem to do it without that longing would be defeating the purpose. It has to come from a place where we want it, we appreciate it, we'll know how to live with it right. Otherwise, Hashem's presence among us, so to speak, is being wasted. That was what was starting to happen back in the deterioration in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. So the bottom line answer is, yes, it could be. And this is exactly what we're talking about in the Bein HaMitzarim, in these days of the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Tisha B'Av. It's realizing that we are at that distance, realizing that It doesn't have to be that way, and longing for the restoration of the original situation. Another question.
Didn't we also learn a concept, which actually mixing up also, that when we're having Yisurim, it's at the moment the best thing for us?
Oh.
How does that work?
Right. So, right. This comes back to the question was, again, that Yisurim, we spent a lot of time understanding their benefits. So now we're just coming and saying Yisurim is just a manifestation of distance. So we're going to phrase it like this. Right. This is one angle of that discussion. And we're saying that one of the benefits of Yisurim is that it reminds us that we need to be closer to Hashem on this natural, broad, universal level. We a lot of times discuss it on the individual level in terms of fixing things in our own lives. But now we're talking about in terms of as a whole, as Klal Yisrael, in terms of the universal scheme, in terms of the historic scheme, the Yisurim are there to remind us we're not where we ought to be. We could be closer. This doesn't have to be a part of the picture. And let's all long for and try to bring it back to that state. Now, are we really capable of doing that on our own? First of all, don't underestimate our abilities. We don't know how close we are. We don't know how much more effort is needed. We have no idea. We're likely to be very close to the finish line. We don't know. And number two, it's the understanding that, and this the Maseiach Yesharim makes this point, setting aside the issue of when will it happen? Am I really capable of achieving it? It's the understanding that the fact that I'm pinned over that distance and the fact that I'm longing for that closeness is itself a part of me reaching my perfection. It's a part of me making myself as close to Hashem as I can. Because think of it in these terms. If you have a father, a parent, who had to leave the country due to some tzara, chas v'shalom, right? And a year, 2 years have gone by and the kids are at home with the other parent. And they're all distant, right? But one kid said, okay, look, life can go on. Everything's fine. I'll enjoy the letters when I don't know, but the letters, but I'll enjoy the gifts when I get them. And then the other kid is waiting and pining and longing, right? So the distance is the same if you're talking miles, but which kid is closer to the father? Which kid has a stronger relationship with the father, right? Even though the distance is the same, the physical distance. So that's a part of the point also. It's understanding that in each of our individual worlds, in a world where it's just me and Hashem, part of it is, Hashem says, I want to see how solid our relationship is from a distance. Okay. I hope that this part of the discussion is clear, or as clear as it could be. I want to take a breath for a moment and then move on to the next stage of the discussion. Another dimension on this whole thing, which is important to bring out. And that is the area of our distress over Kvod Shamayim. This is a concept that we hear about. It's a lofty concept. It really requires us to break out of ourselves. The appreciation of the fact that if we do appreciate Hashem's closeness to us, appreciate Hashem's love for us, are we actually capable of connecting to kiviyachol, kiviyachol, but this is the way it's put, Hashem's tzar. Hashem's tzar over the state, over the devastation and everything he kiviyachol was envisioning and built up. Everything that he wanted in our world, everything that he wanted in his children. Kiviyachol. In the Sefer Kuzari, there's a couple of themes that mamish thread the whole Sefer. One of those things, you know, the Sefer Kuzari is a dialogue between a non-Jewish king and a Jewish chacham. Jewish chacham and a non-Jewish king who's seeking the truth. It's a dialogue. People think of Sefer Kuzari as like a Sefer proving Judaism. That's a very, very, like it's like the first few pages of the Sefer. Like people, maybe people get stuck on that. I see there's a comment here. I'll lean out to get back to it soon. It's a dialogue between the non-Jewish king who's seeking truth and the Jewish chacham. And really, it's a study of Yiddishkeit in general. It's an amazing, profound, rich study of Yiddishkeit. Once you get past the point of working through the different religions and stuff, which is a very superficial beginning part of the Sefer, you just get into a tour of the breadth and depth of Yiddishkeit, which is amazingly enriching and uplifting. That's what Sefer HaKuzari is. So one of the themes that the non-Jewish Chacham is struggling with throughout the Sefer is the notion of Hashem taking pride in people, in humans. All the more so when we're talking about a nation that is a very tiny piece of mankind as a whole, but even mankind as a whole. See, this Khuzari king, this non-Jewish king, had a much better concept. He had a very, very deep and profound philosophical concept of Elokus. He knew the immensity of what an Elokim must be. And therefore, he founded philosophical concepts of God. In those days, there was a whole developed science there, which he touches on throughout the Sefer, was that is way above the earth, and everything on it is so tiny that it doesn't make it onto his radar. Doesn't make it onto his radar. Kind of developed off of him in some kind of funny way. Like they kind of believe in a world that kind of created itself, just that there's a God at the root of it. It isn't just a void at the root of it, but that he has no shaykhis to it because of his greatness. And nothing that could possibly happen on earth could register. It's a whole big philosophical debate. And the Khuzari is struggling with this understanding. And he says that Mela, if Hashem would say, says that Hashem identifies himself as Elokei Yisrael, right? He would ask Hashem, what is your title? What is your title? He would say, my title is, you see those people? Jewish people, they're mine. I'm their father. That's his title. That's Kiviyochel, how he advertises his greatness. Kiviyochel. So this is something that the non-Jewish king struggles with. How could that possibly be? He should say, like, hey, Hashamayim, right? All the heavenly bodies, the sun, which is something so much more immense than all of earth, etc. And basically the Khuzari's, the Chacham's answer to that is that Hashem prides himself more than the creation of the sun is that he can create a nation of human beings who are capable of living godliness, of living standards that we would think are above human ability. So when you see the beauty and the greatness and the perfection of my people, you're seeing my greatness, Kaviyachal, being reflected off them. And that is something much more impressive in the creation of the sun. I think it was one of the Averich Mashal, correct? I think it was one of the earlier Lubavitcher Rebbes who said, they asked him about why don't, apparently there was less of a stress in Lubavitch on Moifis stories than in other Hasidic sects. So one of the earlier Rebbes was asked why that's so. When we talk about Moifis stories. So he said that for us, the greatest Moifis possible is to take a hunk of flesh and to turn it into what we call a true Adam. Right? You take 180 pounds of meat and bones, most intelligent beast, and to make it into that sublime being called Adam is the greatest Moifis imaginable. It's about our work. It's about what we make of ourselves. That's really where the miracle, in our times at least, that's where they lie, right? Kind of al derech, what the Chafetz Chaim's son said about his father, right? They asked the Chafetz Chaim. They asked the Chafetz Chaim's son. Now, why don't we hear stories about your father's, you know, tzadik goyzev Hashem Mekayim? right? That famous saying that, you know, the tzaddik decrees and Hashem fulfills it. The Chofetz Chaim's son responded, by my father, the moifus was, the miracle was, the extent to which Hashem goizev atzadik mekayim. Hashem decrees and the tzaddik can be mekayim. That was the miraculous nature of my father. Right? So this, the Kuzari is saying, these are both, sound like cute sayings. They're not. There's a lot of depth there. And this is basically what the Kuzari is saying. That's Hashem's pride in the Jewish people. Look what I can make, kiviyachol, out of a nation of flesh and blood. Hashem had very, very great visions for his people. And the truth is that we have to appreciate today in our times our greatness. That's something that deserves elaboration. But I'm not going to get into that full discussion right now because we have about 5 minutes left. The Jewish people are meant to be people who, like we said, reflect Elokus by the unimaginably high standard that they live by. And here I'm again putting into parentheses that many of us don't think that we're just talking about something that existed in the past. There are many things that we have in our lives by now as givens that really are what many others would not consider realistic. If you think about the fact that it's such a given that across the board, people give 10% of their earnings. It's like not even a discussion. Where do you find that anywhere else, such a phenomenon? Right? That's a given. I remember reading once an article about a certain a woman who I think that they made into a saint afterwards. And they were describing her sublime life, the Maaseh Chesed that she was involved in, etc. This was like an icon. Now I remember reading it and I was thinking to myself, I know. She wasn't married. She didn't have children. It somehow goes against. But I said, I don't know. It sounds like a pretty standard description of many, 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 many of those, you know, chesed women who have 9 children and are busy doing so much of these things on a regular basis. It's not, you know, write a story about one of them, right? When they do write a book about one of them, it's very inspiring. But they're, you know, kenai nahara. And there are many other examples that we can give. Right? It is. People often refer to the Gemach section of the Yerushalayim directory, right? Oh, the Beshemesh directory also, but it's not as big just because it's not as big of a city. And no, we take these things for granted, but is there anywhere else where you can find such a phenomenon? These are just a few examples. There are more examples. Whatever the case is, to appreciate that Hashem set us up for a reality where Eretz Yisrael is an area that it's pristine. It's something that is floating above the rest of the world in terms of standards, in terms of the reality that we're living with here, and where there is no hint whatsoever of any of the baseness, of any of the base nature of living that prevails in the world around. This is something that really deserves a lot of elaboration. It really deserves its own shir or three shirin. But just to say right now that when we live in an Eretz Yisrael that is, on the one hand, provides us with a very great opportunity, but on the other hand, is inundated with Western culture, which doesn't always represent the highest of moral standards. And there's so much of it all around to realize that it's a very polluted reality. And that this itself is a major, if we'll use the term, disappointment, kaviyach, of what Hashem was envisioning. The realization that we're accustomed to these things. We're accustomed to these things. And in our current reality, we might say, okay, look, this is reality. But when we're talking about the bigger scheme of things and what Hashem really envisioned when he put what he put into his people, realize that a car driving on Shabbos is a tragedy. Now, what are we supposed to do about it? That we discussed other times. Not necessarily in our hands. Perhaps to a certain extent, we could have a certain effect. But that's not what we're discussing right now. Right now we're discussing being able to break out of our reality and go to a place of try to envision what Hashem set up for us. And what he wanted to have, the nachas that he was hoping for, was an entire nation living in that standard. And the fact that if I walk through the streets and I am assaulted by things that are a threat to my own purity, that this is the Eretz Yisrael of Makom HaBashas HaShchina, it is manifesting that Kiviyachol, Rachmana Litzlan, it's a terrible way to put it, but that Hashem is being denied a foothold in his territory, in his palace. It's hard to connect to this, and this, I think, was the point of the question that was asked before, since we weren't born into this. We were born into this reality of the much lower standards. But you know what? This is exactly the challenge that's being put on us. In a way, we are able to make much more. This actually is the answer to the question here on the chat also. In terms of our avoid of the Bein HaMetzarim, and I'm going to go on for another 3 minutes, we are able, kiviyachol, to achieve much more than they were able to achieve in the earlier times. Because the people who had actually lived with it, it was a very natural feeling. The people who saw the Bayis Sheni being built after they had seen the Bayis Rishon, those people who had actually spanned both tkufas, they naturally wept. They naturally wept. And by us, it's true, it's not a natural feeling because we were born into what we were born into. But for those of us who are able to break out of that and appreciate the distance from by moving into a higher viewpoint and trying to really picture what is it that Hashem intended for us, we are providing a much greater display of Kvod Shamayim. We have the opportunity through our Avodah Bein HaTzarim, if we can reach a much lower level of longing, but of real longing, than they felt back then, we are providing Hashem with much, much greater nachas ruach. And that's the unique opportunity of our generation, where we are naturally so distanced from it all, and it's so not natural to us. If we could still connect to these feelings to some level, to be able to sense it, realize that actually this is the potential greatness of our times davka, where we can say, coming from this reality and coming from the world that we live in, which is also much more comfortable than the gullus that many of the previous dayers went through. And if we could still reach out and say, we are feeling the lack of what Hashem wanted in his world, and we're feeling that lack of closeness, even though we never felt it, we never felt that closeness, but we're able to long for it nevertheless, even if we do that to a lower extent, whatever we can manage to get out of ourselves is achieving much more greatness than they could have done in earlier times when these feelings came much more naturally. So let's realize that this is how we can kiviyachol, compensate in terms of the nachas of Hashem by managing to connect to whatever we can to these feelings that are taka lofty and over our heads. And by saying these things, I'm trying to connect myself to them. I'm trying to connect myself to them. Let's be zeicha to do that together to an extent, and let it bring Hashem that nachas that will just bring it to the stage where we'll finally be reunited to the fullest extent. A good tevach, and we should be zeicha to see it noch this week.
Good tevach. Thank you so much.
Bye. So next week, to you.